I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to the very beginning, Genesis. I'm going to turn to the very first book of the Bible. Today is the first Sunday of the year 2020. A new year, a new decade, a new beginning in many different ways. And sometimes it's nice to look back at all things new. And certainly when we want to look at all things new, you go to the Bible and you go to the book of Genesis and you find all things new. That's when God spoke into existence, all things that we see and know today. I'm going to show you a little piece of that new beginning. I'm going to take you this morning to see the tree of life. We're going to not only see the tree of life in the beginning, but we're going to see how the tree of life is actually a metaphor throughout our lives. And then we're going to see the tree of life in the future. All of that is in your Bible this morning. But we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2. So if you'll turn with me, Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. What I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to the tree of life. Let's ask God's blessing first on his word. Lord in heaven, I pray that you be with us this morning as we look into your scriptures. Help us, Lord, to look and be touched with the new beginning you gave as you created all the heavens and the earth and all things therein. And Lord, we step back with some amazement and interest at the tree of life and how that you reference it throughout the entire Bible all the way into future. And I pray that you help us. Help us to take this and contemplate those things that you give to us in life, that we would not take them for granted, but that we'd see their value. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Sometimes we read through our Bibles, and I want to encourage you to read through your Bibles. You should have received, first part of this week, in the mail, an envelope from the church, a little note from me, and in it was a magnetic calendar to go where? Does anybody know? On your refrigerator, because that'll make two things happy. What are they? The pastor and your refrigerator. Sure, every refrigerator needs a magnet. I mean, you need it for grandkid pictures or kids' pictures, or just simply so when you walk by the refrigerator, you remember the church. Isn't that great? Yeah. I'm trying to sell it. So you're supposed to be a little more responsive. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But anyways, this week, you received an envelope from me. And in it was a little magnetic calendar from the church. But then also in there was a little read through the Bible in a year schedule. And that's because that's my part in challenging you to make daily reading of your Bible a part of your life so that you can connect the Old Testament to the New Testament and you can understand God's principles throughout. Well, this morning, I'm going to take you to that Old Testament, and I'm going to show you something that's really so interesting and so very pertinent to our lives today. So I'm going to start off by reading Genesis chapter 2. Listen to verses 7 on down through 9 of Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we see that God created mankind, started with Adam, formed man from the dust of the earth, molded him, made him, breathed into him the breath of life that he would become a living soul. Of course, we know the scriptures teach us that he was made in the image of God. But then he planted a garden east of Eden, and there he put in it all manner of trees and plants and things to grow. And he specifically names two. He said, the tree of life and the tree of what? The tree of knowledge. Let's jump just one chapter farther along. Look with me at chapter 3. Look with me at verses 22 down through 24. Although, you know what, let's go back just a little bit. Let's look also at chapter 3, but let's pick it up at verse 7. Talking about Adam and Eve, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened." Something happened, wasn't it? In fact, what happened was Satan came and beguiled Eve and told her, "You can eat of the tree of knowledge. It's okay. You can do that. And you surely won't die." And she did. She ate of that forbidden tree. And Adam ate of the forbidden tree. We jump ahead just a little bit to verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, because now they'd rebelled against God. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, 'Where art thou?'" Interesting what has transpired. Before they fellowshipped and walked together in the garden, unashamed because there was no sin nature. But sin came upon them through rebellion against God. And now they're, what are they doing? They're hiding from God. We live in a world of people who are trying to hide from their responsibility to God. As we move a little farther in our text, look with me at chapter 3. And I want you to read with me verses 22 down through 24. I'll read it, you follow along. It says, "And the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." So we find that God comes to the garden, calls out for Adam and Eve. Adam says, "We're here, but we're hiding because we're naked." He covers them with a garment made from animal skin, and meaning the first sacrifice for sin. And here we find God say, "We have a problem now. These two have partaken of the tree of knowledge. Now they know good and evil, even as God. They have the sin nature within them." He says, however, there's a problem, because not only is there in the garden the tree of knowledge, there's the tree of what? Tree of life. He says, now, lest they eat that tree of life and live evermore. And the word he uses there about their long life is the same word used many times throughout the Old Testament we're going to talk about. He says, we need to address the problem. And we need to remove them from that garden that was made for them, put them outside and guard it with angels, lest they eat that tree of life. It's so interesting when you look at that, because it reminds us that God had planted in that garden both that tree of knowledge, which would, if they rebelled against him and partook of it, would bring sin into their lives, as well as the tree of life that would bring healing. So why is that pertinent to our life today? Well, I wanted to read for you a little bit out of this report. This is Nature's Pharmacy, Our Treasure Chest, Why We Must Conserve Our Natural Heritage. It's written by the conservation organization for medicine around the world. So it deals with pharmaceuticals that come from plants, like the tree of life. Isn't it interesting how that God's word reminds us of the power of God at creation, even still today? Worldwide, between 50,000 and 80,000 flowering plants are used medicinally. That's a lot. 50,000 to 80,000 flowering plants. In the United States alone, of the top 150 prescription drugs, at least 118 are based on natural resources. 74% from plants, 18% from fungi, 5% from bacteria, and 3% from vertebrae such as snakes or frogs. So when you take your aspirin or your Tylenol, it might be part of a snake or a frog. Who knows, right? I don't know that that's a fact, but I just thought I'd put it out there. So we learn all of a sudden that in God's creation, in His nature, we find all these medicinal things. According to the National Cancer Institute, at least 70% of new drugs introduced in the United States in the last 25 years are derived from natural sources. Plants derived that have been anti-cancer drugs, such as Taxol, first isolated from the Pacific yew plant, save at least 30,000 lives per year in the United States, just from one plant. Thanks to two drugs derived from alkaloids of Madagascar's rosy periwinkle, the likelihood of remission for a child suffering from leukemia increased by 85% from 1960 to 1997. In other words, because of that periwinkle plant, the drug they derived from it, when a child in 1960 was diagnosed with leukemia, there was an 87% higher probability in 1960 than today because they have a drug from that periwinkle plant. Our lives are continually touched by the medicinal value of God's creation. Sometimes man thinks that he is the creator, he's the inventor. No, he's only the discoverer of what God created and God invented. That's why every once in a while you pick up your newspaper. New discovery. Although nobody picks up a newspaper anymore, do they? They pick up a cell phone and they say, oh yeah, or a tablet, or who knows what is the next newest. I see people walking around watching their watch. You know, I glance at my watch, but some people actually talk to their watches now. And every once in a while, you see that there's been a new discovery. A discovery of what God created, what God planted, and man is just beginning to find. In fact, I was reading an article that said, still today, we have only investigated about 2% of all the medicinal possibilities in plants around the world. Can you imagine? So when we go back to that Garden of Eden, and we look through that gate that the angels are guarding so that Adam and Eve cannot go in, and we see over here the tree of knowledge which led to death, and over here we see the tree of life, which has the medicinal value to give us longevity. We see the ancestral plant of what still today we're tapping into. God's creation. God's miraculous beginning. In the beginning we see that God made it so that Adam and Eve could freely eat of that plant. In fact, chapter 2, look with me again at verses 16 and 17, where I read in the beginning. I want you to listen. It says that, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. So that means that of the tree of life they could eat. And therefore we see that longevity of life that was promised. In fact, we see the residual effects of that in the early generations of mankind as they were participating in all that was there in that original creation. They lived for so long, freely able to eat of that tree of life, but not of the tree of knowledge. It provided long life. In fact, when you look at chapter 3, verse 22, it tells us, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is becoming as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. I told you I was going to go ahead and talk about that little turn of phrase, to live forever. What did God mean by that? Did that mean that he would live, that mankind would live as God would live evermore. Well, he uses an interesting word there that's translated forever. That word means as the mountains. So, for instance, you and I, when we get up in the morning and we drive out of our driveways and drive through Addison County or wherever we live, most of us, if we really want to, we notice the mountains. Do any of you ever notice the mountains in Vermont? I make myself notice the mountains because I didn't grow up. I grew up in Massachusetts. The biggest mountain in our state was Mount Wachusett. Kind of a mountain. But when I come to Vermont and I look at the mountains across the lake, the Adirondacks, on this side I look at the Green Mountains. I mean, they're amazing, aren't they? I mean, they're beautiful. If you're not careful, you become blinded to that, don't you? You forget how beautiful a place you live in. God says, Adam and Eve, because of the tree of life, could live as long as the mountains. That's a long time. You and I, we will never see in our physical body the lifespan of a mountain. But isn't it interesting that our lifespans continue to increase because of the medicines we find in God's creation? Isn't that interesting? That all of a sudden they're finding in plants drugs that extend a cancer patient's life? Or a child who's diagnosed with leukemia, all of a sudden there's an 87% increase in the probability that they will not have a recurrence of that disease. Why? Because of a periwinkle. Isn't it so interesting the power of God's creative hand? The way he can bring into existence something that could extend our lives to the lives of the mountains, he said, for Adam and Eve. If we're not careful, we take for granted what God has done. And if we're not careful, we listen too much to the critics and not enough to the science. The critics say it's all mythology and make-believe and stories. Science says, look to the plants and you'll find your medicines to live longer. And that's exactly what the Bible said. As we go through the texts, through the scriptures, we find that this is not the only place that the tree of life is mentioned. It's actually a metaphor for many things throughout our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to see God used the tree of life as a metaphor for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 down through 18. Listen to what it says. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. This is talking about wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. God says wisdom, being wise in the way that we live, being wise in the way we do things, being wise in our business. He says it is as the tree of life, worth more than silver and gold. It extends our lives. How true it is. I think of the times in my life when I was the most foolish. They were the times I came the closest to losing my life. When I was a kid, you could get your motorcycle license at 15 and a half years old. You couldn't get your driver's license until you were 16. But if you went and got your motorcycle license, you could drive by yourself on your motorcycle. So, of course, being a country kid and I wanted to work a part-time job, first thing I did was buy a motorcycle. The problem was you could legally drive a motorcycle before you became wise enough to be responsible to drive a motorcycle. And more than one time, as a 15-year-old, not wise person, I barely made it out alive. You realize that you need wisdom, don't you? You need wisdom for some things in life. Well, God tells us wisdom is precious. It's as precious as the tree of life, he says here. But he doesn't just use wisdom as a metaphor for the tree of life, but also he uses righteousness as a metaphor for the tree of life, or the tree of life for righteousness. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 11, if you would. Look with me at verse 30. It says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So when we live a righteous life, a life not riddled with all the consequences and all the impact of sin and unrighteousness, he says it is like the tree of life. It's a metaphor. He says our life is extended because we live a righteous life. Our life is benefited. It's better than silver and gold. It improves our longevity when we live a righteous life. And there's no doubt sin takes its toll, doesn't it? I was reading an article, because right now in our nation, there's a great debate about the justice system versus the abortion laws in the United States. And more and more pro-life people are gaining ground, because for decades, the pro-life movement has lost ground. And abortion has become rampant. But we're seeing a great decrease in abortions and a great decrease in people performing abortions. So I was researching a little bit about that, and they were talking about abortions in the United States going all the way back to the 16 and 1700s. Because abortion goes, you can research abortion all the way back to the Roman Empire and beyond. But they said that the early abortions in the United States really only were applicable to the prostitution trade in America. And they said they saw that in research. They saw that through the late 1600s and 1700s. And then in the 1800s, prostitution exploded in America. Communities had not passed laws yet, and there was not the restrictions for it. They said the average prostitute in the 1800s in the United States, how long do you think their life expectancy was? 4 years. 4 years. From the time a young woman would enter into the business to the time they expected her to die was 4 years. Do you know why? Because it's such an unrighteous lifestyle. It's so destructive. Between, they said that the highest causes of death for these young women was beatings, disease, and drug and alcohol. In the 1800s. So there was a mass movement in our country to close that industry down because it was so destructive to these young people who had got sucked into it. So when you look at a text like this that says righteousness is like the tree of life, you understand what God is saying. He's saying that when you choose an unrighteous lifestyle, it shortens your life. But when you embrace righteousness, it's like the tree of life. Isn't that magnificent? You don't just have to find medicine in leaves and plants. The metaphor is you can extend your life. Amen? Talk to Kim. Kim's a big proponent on healthy life living and how it can extend your life. That kind of righteous living is an extension of your life. But that's not the only metaphor. Also, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Look with me and see how that hope, the simple aspect of hope, is like the tree of life. Look with me at Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Now, think about what he's saying. Is when we take hope and we set it aside and we become hopeless, He said it makes us sick. But when the desire comes back for hope, he says then it's like the tree of life. Isn't that something? So not just our physical, not just our medicinal, but also our psychological, emotional person can be like the tree of life. Vermont has one of the highest suicide rates in all the country. And they say one of the reasons is because we live in a very long winter with dark days. And what happens to people is unless they motivate themselves to get up and get out and to keep hope alive, they start to feel hopeless. So what do you have to do? You have to get up. You have to get out. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you feel like, oh, it's another cloudy day. Oh, it's snowing. Oh, you have to get out. Go for a ride. Go for a walk. Understand that there is hope. There's always hope because spring is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Spring is coming. Listen, I think there was only one year where they said it snowed every single month of the year in Vermont. And that was 100 years ago. Stop worrying about it being this year. There's hope. So you get up in the morning and it's a little dreary. So you get up in the morning and there's a little bit of snow clouds out there. So it's a little overcast. There's hope. Don't ever allow yourself to become hopeless. He says, when we dismiss hope, it makes us sick. Isn't it interesting how the Bible knows so much about our psychological and physical and medicinal person? You know, people have been trying to discover these truths for hundreds and hundreds of years. They're still trying to practice psychology when these truths have been here all along. Amen?
Amen.
A great metaphor. Great metaphor for hope, the tree of life. One more. I want you to look with me at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Proverbs 15, 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Isn't this interesting? He's talking about us talking. How we affect each other in the words that we say, the things we say. He says a wholesome or healthy tongue, the words we say being uplifting, encouraging, positive, is a tree of life. A metaphor for speaking words that are positive, helpful, and healthy versus perverse things that are a breach or break in the spirit. So in other words, when we as human beings, when we as individuals say things that are cutting, degrading, discouraging, tearing down, he says that hurts our spirit. But he says wholesome, healthy words are like the tree of life. They extend our life. So I want to challenge you, moms and dads. Teach your kids that cutting and that demeaning and that ridiculing. That's bad for them and bad for others. But mom and dad too. To only always be negative and critical and degrading, bad. Bad for you and bad for them. God says the tree of life is in healthy and wholesome words. Now, they may be corrective words, but they're still healthy and wholesome words. Amen?
Amen.
You see, there's nothing wrong with coming in and saying something's wrong, but you have to say it's wrong in the right way. Wholesome words. Wholesome words that are like the tree of life. So we see these tremendous metaphors for the increased life that we get from God's creative hand. But I told you, not only do we see the tree of life in the book of Genesis at the very beginning, not only do we see it as a metaphor throughout the Bible and life, but we also see it at the end. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation. Last book in your Bible. I want you to look with me at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And I want you to see that we find the tree of life in heaven itself. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you and I one day, if we've received Christ into our hearts and our lives, and we are a child of God, we've put our faith in the Savior, and we're looking to our heavenly home, he says one day, when we get there, we'll be able to pick from the tree of life and participate in that fruit of the tree of life that's in paradise. The same fruit that Adam and Eve were able to eat of before they sinned against God. That'll be so amazing, won't it? Yesterday, I needed to pick up some groceries. Sandra Jo wasn't feeling well. She's really our grocery shopper. And it's not sexist. She's just better at it. You know, she can go in and she can see things that I just can't see. So I was picking up stuff at the grocery store. And this year, I had gotten some of the most amazing apples from this little orchard over here on the road just over the hill. And every time I ate one of those apples, it was just like refreshing. Hard and crisp and refreshing. So I'm going through the grocery store and I saw a bag of apples that looked so good. Now, she didn't ask me to pick up apples. That was the first mistake. I stepped outside the boundaries of what grocery shopping, you know, was supposed to be. So I walked along, I saw the bag, I thought, oh boy, those look so good. I walked over where you get individual apples. I looked, I thought, I can't really tell the difference. I'll just get the bag of apples. They look so great. So I bought the bag, brought it home. When I got home, I thought, I need to have one of those apples. So I opened the bag up, took a bite in it. It was nothing like those apples I got at the orchard this last fall. It was kind of mealy. Had a lot of bruises on it. I said, Sandra Jo, there's bruises all over these apples. She said, yeah, that's because you bought them in the bag. What do I know? You know, there's so many things in our lives that we think are going to be so magnificent, and they turn out to be disappointing. But there are some things that we've not yet experienced that are going to be amazing. When we get to heaven, we get to participate in the fruit of the tree of life. It will be so amazing. It's something to look forward to. We also see, even past paradise, you know, the Bible teaches us that at the close of time, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, won't there? In fact, before we get to the new heaven and new earth, Christ will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and the new Jerusalem will descend out of heaven. I want you to see that the tree of life is there too. Look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. It's interesting that the tree of life just keeps popping up over and over again through the scriptures. Look with me at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 down through 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Jump with me over to verses 9 and 10 as it continues down through. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And of course, we know that's the church. And he cried, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now jump down with me to chapter 22, and I want you to see what he saw. Verses 1 down through 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Isn't it amazing? We go all the way to Genesis and we find God's creative hand creating the tree of life, which would give them life as the mountains. We find throughout the Bible him using it as a picture of positive and healthy things that would lengthen our days in our lifetime. And then we go ahead and we transport all the way into the book of Revelation in the end of time. And there is the tree of life, and it's bearing 12 manner of fruit. Gives us something to look forward to. How many of you like apples? You don't have to lie. It's okay. How many of you like pears? You like pears. How about plums? How many of you like plums? We've only just begun. That's only 3 fruit. That tree bears 12 manner of fruit. Now, in the ancient days, they'd look at that and they'd say, oh, that's impossible. You can't have one tree bear 12 manner of fruit. But then man all of a sudden discovered that, do you know you can graft in to a tree to get it to bear other kinds of fruit? Man discovered what God always knew from the time of creation. It's so amazing to go back to the beginning sometime. Go all the way back and just look at what a great God we have. What an amazing creation he created. And how that it still even benefits us today in so many different ways. And how that it gives us something to look forward to into eternity. Thank the Lord for new beginnings. For he created the heaven and the earth and all that is therein. And you and I are still reaping the benefits. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. This morning as we close in prayer, I'm not going to have a regular invitation, but I am going to challenge you. Right where you are sitting with your head bowed, I'm just going to ask you if you wouldn't make a commitment to the Lord. A commitment to read your Bible and to learn of these wondrous and amazing things that are there. Let's take just a moment as we start the year 2020 together. Let's take a moment of silent prayer and make a commitment to God to read his word. Father in heaven, as we're dismissed from church this morning, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to go forth with us, stirring our memory of these amazing truths about the tree of life. Help us to share these truths with other people, that they might know that the Bible is just full of things that benefit us in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be diligent in our Bible reading and the studying of your word, that we ourselves might be improved by its truths. Help us, Lord, to embrace the metaphors you give us of those things that are like the tree of life, that improve and lengthen our days. Help us, Lord, to be the Christian, the believer, the child of God that you would have us to be in this new year of 2020. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to church this morning. We're dismissed.